ஹேதவே தாபத்ரய விநாசாய ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய வயம் நும. ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாய வயம் நும. ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணாசரணம் மம. 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 கிருஷ்ண கன்ஹையா லால் கீ ஜெய். ஓகே, லெட் மீ வெல்கம் ஆல் ஆஃப் யூ டு திஸ் பாகவத் சத்சங். வி ஆர் சீயிங் பக்தர்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் பாகவதம் இன் திஸ் ஈவினிங். டுடே வில் பி அவர் லாஸ்ட் செஷன் ஆன் பக்தர்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் பாகவதம். யெஸ்டர்டே வி சோ வெரி ஆஸ்பிஷியஸ்லி ஆல்சோ டிசைன்ட் பை பகவான் தட் Raja Ambarish, who was a perfect devotee of Bhagavan Vishnu, so much so that Bhagavan Vishnu's Sudarshan Chakra was always hovering above his head protecting him. In other words, if you take the message from that is, Bhagavan tells in Gita, Name Bhakta Pranashyati, my devotee never perishes. My devotee will always be saved. So, in that passage we saw all the requirements of devotion. The requirements of devotion is not merely to sit quietly there and go on chanting Bhagavan Naam alone. Vibhishan used to do, Ram Ram Tehi Sumiran Jaga. Tulsidasi describes in the morning when he woke up, Ram 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 Ram. Going to sleep, Ram, 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 Ram. But then doing nothing for Ram. Like Hanumanji, Ram kaaj karive ko aatur, like that. One who is a devotee of the Lord also has to do seva for Bhagavan. Our life should be dedicated. So this is the exemplar in the Bhagavatam is this. And the previous night, this Ambarish. Previous night also we had seen now Prahlad, Prahlad's father. Prahlad was a great devotee of Bhagavan. But his father had, do you know, if you have given some thought to it, you will realize that Prahlad's father, Hiranyakashipu, was the first person on the earth who started conversion, you know? Conversion was not started by Christian people. Conversion was started by Hiranyakashipu only. He was the first one who... Okay, everybody, stop saying Om Vishnave Namaha. No, you don't worship Vishnu anymore. What do you have to say? Om Shri Hiranyakashipave Namaha. You have to chant his name, isn't it? So he converted everybody from Vaishnavas to Hiranyakashipavas. First person to convert anybody. And now his little son, who was serving Bhagavan Vishnu, he will tell all his little friends, you don't worry, this father, you know. You say Vishnave Namaha. Yeah. So he's doing Bhagavan's work or not? Huh? Prahlad is doing Bhagavan's work only. You don't worry with this father. You worship Bhagavan Vishnu. In spite of what all his teachers, because he had put his teachers to teach them all sorts of things about him only. Hiranyakashipu, he put his teachers to teach them. That is called indoctrination. To indoctrinate this boy and all his friends. But he was a very powerful little boy doing Bhagavan's seva. He'd tell them, don't worry with all of these teachers. And then when all the little boys also came, they're chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. not chanting Hiranyakashipu's name, but they're chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. His father got... But anyway, here are two bhaktas who are not just devotees in their heart, but they're devotees in heart. To do... Seva, something. Now, here is one more devotee today whose name is Dadichi. You have heard his name? Dadichi. Well, this seva aspect of, you know, with our hands, doing something for the Lord, this Dadichi is the greatest exemplar, epitome of seva bhav. So much so that he gave his entire body also. Gave it up for the seva of Indra and the gods. Instructed by Bhagwan. So this story is a very long story. I was wondering which part of it to take now. But I'll show you now where it starts and how it goes. It goes on for many, many pages and all. And how it starts off like this. There was one Vishwarupa who had great love for the devas. But Vishwarupa, whose father was a deva, but whose mother was an asura. Now that is a mix. Arjuna talks about this in first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. There is a mixture of different things. You don't know what will turn out. So what this Vishwarupa is to do, he is to make offerings to the devas. Because his father himself is a deva. But because he had a lot of affection for his mother, which naturally everybody will have. Everybody will have affection for their mother. He had a lot of affection for his mother. So while he was making different oblations to all the gods, it was all mantras and all that sort of thing, he, on the side, he used to make some offerings also to his mother. So this Indra came to know about this thing. Indra comes to know everything. Yeah? Indra has spies everywhere. He knows everything. All his gods go everywhere and they look and see and they bring back all news to him only. All kings have spies. In this country also, all presidents, they have spies only. They only complain about this one spying and that one, but they also spy just like that. But that is what they do. Kings have spies. So he came to find out this Vishwarupa. He was putting some offerings on the side for his mother, who is an asura. An asura? Feminine asura will be what? Asuri, maybe. Sometimes in Sanskrit and all, you don't know what it is, because you don't see those words. Rakshasi. That we are more sure. So anyway, Indra got furious. I told you on previous day, difference between devas and asura is not much. Only one main thing you can say. Indra got furious like anything. He came there and he cut off the head of that Vishwarupa. Look at this. Sometimes some drastic action for a little transgression, isn't it? Some drastic punishment for a little transgression. He cut off the head of that Vishwarupa. Now, that Vishwarupa's father, hearing of the, he's a deva also. Hearing of what Indra has done to his son, he now got furious. Now see, devas also, they get furious like anything. And they have kaam, krodh, mada, lobh, ityadi, they have everything. Just like asuras. The distinguishing feature is, they know Bhagwan is supreme. The asuras, they think that they are supreme. That's Hiranyakashipu. Chant my name, what Vishnu? He is supreme, he thinks. So this is the difference. So now, this father of Vishwarupa, whose name was Tvashta, that Tvashta got furious now. And he got some special mantra and did a special ritual. And out of that fire, ritual fire now, came out a terrible demon, Vritra. His name was Vritra, Vritrasura. And he instructed this Vritrasura, you go there and you finish this Indra. Now see what type of thing. You see all this revenge and all killing and all things which is going on today. That started long time. Isn't it? Long time ago. You know this is a very, very serious matter. Huh? What is there in this beginning is only now revenge, isn't it? Somebody did something, you go cut off his head. Now the father, son, lost his son. He has to take revenge on Indra. Do you know there is no end to any of this, huh? This whole thing about revenge and this whole thing about, you know, killing this one for that one, and there's no end to that. And that is why violence will never stop in this world. All the killing which is going on in this world today is only karma of the past. And what we are seeing in Trinidad language, we say, we are only seeing the smoke. Fire is yet to. There's only smoke. Today, you will hear, 10 people die there, 500 people die there, 20 people die there. It's nothing. The British Empire, in its reign across the earth, I'm talking about one empire, British Empire, in its reign across this earth for about 300, 400 years, you know how many people they kill? More than 130 million. Are you imagine? Where is all that karma going to go? I'm talking about just one empire. And the French kill, Spanish kill, Portuguese kill, Pol Pot kill, Stalin kill, Hitler killed, Cortez killed. How many they killed? Where the karma will go? So what we are seeing, 20 die here, 30 die there, it is nothing. The karma of the world has to work itself, and then we go on contributing by taking revenge. So when this one did something, we take revenge. That one did something, we take revenge. So in other words, we are perpetuating this chain of killing and violence, isn't it? This is what the world does. So, no, so that is exactly what is going on here. Now, the idea is all this feeling of, And she did not only for killing. This is for any ill will. Suppose that person tells you a bad word. Then you say, oh, when I catch them next time, I will tell them 10 bad words. Now what you have just done is you have perpetuated that chain, isn't it? You have extended that chain. Now you told 10 bad words. Now somewhere, 10 bad words will have to come back to you only. And when it comes in future, it comes with interest. Anything which is kept, it comes with interest only, isn't it? So 10 bad words, you will get 15. So now, Dvashta, he brought this monster now to take revenge on Vritrasura, to take revenge on his Indra. Now, Vritrasura was a formidable creature, Vapre. He will swallow devas like nothing also. Swallow their weapons first. Then swallow them also. So terrible he was. So he came and he rained terror on these gods. And see, these gods also, their karma is always bad, you know. They have bad karma like anything. This is why everybody go to... Because they do so many wrong things. So anybody will just go to Swarga there, give them to Chitapar like that, to throw them out and take their throne. So Indra is always worried, who will take my throne? Anybody, even somebody from his side. Narad one time also, he was worried Narad is doing tapas. Narad was sitting like that, going Narayan, Narayan. Then he went quiet and he went into deep samadhi. And he thought, Narad is doing tapas. He wants to take my throne. People who do wrong thing and who is attached to power and position and all that, they're always afraid of their chair. Yes. They want to be chairman all the time. But that it so happened, so many people. Mahabali beat out Indra many times and threw him out of his own kingdom and all that kind of thing. So this Indra now, because he and his gods always do so many wrong things, now this Vritrasura karma came coming back. He comes back there now, beat out the devas like anything, all of them. So now when they become dispossessed and they become, you know, despondent, desperate, what they do? One saving grace for devas. They go to Bhagwan. They go to Bhagwan only. And they sang long praises now to Bhagwan. Prabhu, you tell what to do. And that is how this story comes. After they sang long hymns, that is a technique which we use up till today. You know, when we want anything from anybody, we tell them all nice things only, isn't it? Oh, you're so nice. You're so wonderful. There's nobody greater than you in this world. Like that. Then, if that person is smart, they ask, what do you want? So the devas went to Bhagwan and they sang. Oh, it happens everywhere in Bhagavatam. When they want something, they go and sing nice hymns and all. Well, it is a technique which is allowed. The Shastra sanctioned the technique, what to say. You go and sing nice hymns and all, and then we ask what we want. So Bhagwan is giving instructions now to these devas. Now what to do? Because this Vritrasura is invincible now. Nobody could do anything. If any deva, they have to run away. If they go close, he'll swallow them also. Devour all of them whole. So they ran away helter-skelter, just like that time Durvasa Muni gave that mala to Indra and all. And all of them became old. In Swarga, there's no old age. You know? In Swarga, there's no old age. They remain same. Durvasa Muni gave sharp, all of them started becoming old. When the asuras saw they're becoming old now and weak, the asuras started attacking them. So like that, they're always finding themselves in trouble. But anyway, now they went to Bhagwan. Bhagwan told what to do. He gave advice. After all the praises and hymns, a long hymn is there. For pages it goes on. Now see Bhagwan, he's telling to Indra. Indra is of course in the front, and all the devas come behind, and they all sing this elaborate hymn. Oh Prabhu, we are so tormented by this Vritrasura and all, what to do? So Bhagavan, Bhagavan yata bhadram vo dadhyancha mrishi sattamam vidyavratata par vidyavratata pasara gatram yachatam maricham. What he tells, you go, and the great sage, the teacher, is there. You go there and yachatam, you ask, you beg for his body. Beg for his bones, his body. So now, see what type of begging also. You go to people and beg for some money, some food, some, you know, this, that. You go and beg for his body? Have you ever seen anywhere? Nowhere. This is one unique story in this Bhagavatam. You go and beg for his body. Huh? What are the words Bhagavan uses? Gatram yachata. Ask for his body. That person, that dadhichi, dadhyancha rishi sattamam vidyavrata tapasaram. He is a storehouse of knowledge and austerity and tapas and all of that. And he knows dharma, he knows everything. Now, I'll tell you something. Fulfilling the requirements of dharma, fulfilling the requirements of dharma is a very, very, very tough thing. There, in our shastras, there are only two subject matters. Two subject matters which are beyond the indriyas, beyond the senses, which we cannot know by our senses. One is called dharma and one is called atmavidya. Dharma and atmavidya cannot be known except through the shastras. It's like how we have pratyaksha praman, you know. Pratyaksha praman with our senses, we know this, we know that. Like for example, this thing is black. How you know? By eyes only, isn't it? It's easy. Pratyaksha. By eyes you know it is black. You don't need shastras to know that. But there are two matters which we cannot know by our senses or by anuman praman, by inference and all. We can only know by shastra. And that is called dharma. And the other is called as atma, self, brahman. So now this dadhichi was a very, very embodiment of dharma and shastra gyan. He knew everything. So he will know whether it is proper to give the devas, and Bhagavan is sending to such a person, whether it is proper to give the devas the body. And if it is not dharmic, I don't give. If it is for dharma, I give. But first we have to know what is dharma. A very, very difficult topic this. Indriya agochara it is. Dharma. We don't know from the indriyas. That is why people go on doing so many wrong things so often, because really we don't know what is right from wrong. Dharma from adharma. It's a very difficult subject matter. Look here. I'll give you a simple example. Suppose you're going to this particular shop and you're purchasing anything. Rajma. Rajma, you know? You're purchasing rajma from this shop, right? So the rajma is $5 a kilo, let us say. So the shopkeeper puts a kilogram weight on this side of the scale, and he puts rajma on that side of the scale. And when it balances, he gives. Right? So you've been buying rajma from that shop for 20 years. And he's been charging you for a kilo and giving you 1 kilo. And you can see the scale also balancing. On this side, there's a 1 kilogram weight. Then you come to discover after 20 years that from that 1 kilogram weight, he had cut out a piece from the bottom and made a hole. So you were just getting 3/4 of a kilogram. But you can't see under that weight, you know. Because it's set on the scale there, and it's a metal weight. So you can't see that hole cut out from the underneath. And you are seeing it written on the top 1 kilogram. But you found out after 20 years that he has been giving you only 3/4 of a kilogram, but charging you for 1 kilogram. Now see, that is cheating or not? You're cheating. There are many such stories in here and there, all everywhere. Nah? Now, not only that, in 20 years you had become his good friend also. But now you don't know how to tell him, you've been cheating me, you know. What type of thing is this? Not good. But on a particular day when you found out, you went there to purchase something from his shop. Not rajma this time, some other thing. Or maybe rajma only. And you gave him $20 for the kilogram of rajma, which cost $5. Then, on that particular day, he makes a mistake. Thinking that you had given him a $100 bill, he gives you back change $95 instead of $15. He's supposed to just give you back $15, isn't it? He gives you $95, mistakenly thinking about that, oh, he gave me a $100 bill. Oh-ho. Now the same man who's been cheating you for 20 years, now he cheated himself. I'm telling you this story to tell you how difficult dharma is. According to the rules of dharma, you can't keep that money. In spite of having found out that he had been cheating you for 20 years. The rules of dharma dictate that you are supposed to return that money. Correct? Yes. Who does it in the world? People, especially when they found out he had been cheating. Anybody will do. The world will not do. It's following dharma. First of all, knowing, and second, following. It is a very, very difficult thing. So Bhagavan sent the devas to a person who knew dharma well. And you also see dharma plays out in this whole story. So, he said, you go there and you ask, you beg now for his body, not to beg for a person's this or that. If you go and you ask him for some money, easily he'll give. You say, give me a limb. Instead of one limb, whole body. I tell you, people don't want to part with money also. You have to talk about body. One fellow stopped in front of a big mansion. So he told that, please give me some money. That master said, no, I don't want no money. Go from here, get lost. Well, you don't have any money. Well, at least give a little bit of food. No, we don't have any food here, go. A little bit of clothing, something, cloth. No, we don't have any cloth here, go. No money, no food, no clothes. What are you doing here? You come with me, we'll go to beg together, you know. Little thing, people don't want to part with that thing. So, now they're going to ask for the body. Bhagavan Vishnu continues. Now he says, Sava adhigato dadhyam ashvibhyam brahma nishkalam yadva ashvirashiro nama tayora maratam vyadhat. It means to say that this the Lord himself is praising. Now there's one more thing about a bhakta and a devotee. The Lord himself praises his devotee. In Rama and Tulsidaji, right? That Rama, everybody is chanting Rama's name and Rama is chanting Bharat's name. But his devotee Bharat, he chanting Bharat's name. The Lord chants the name of his devotee. Last night we saw, he comes under the control of his devotee. Not only that, it sings the praises also of his devotee. These are all distinguishing features of devotion. In the bhakti marg, the Lord comes under the control of his devotee. He sings the praises of his devotee. He chants the names of his devotee. Bhagwan Shri Krishna used to come to get darshan of Suradas. The Lord comes to get darshan of his devotee. How wonderful is bhakti marg, as I tell you. The Lord wants to see his devotee also. We go to get darshan of Bhagwan, Bhagwan goes to get darshan of devotee. So here he's singing the praises. In this, the Dichi is a great, great, great jnani, and he has Atma Gyan, and he had even taught this Atma Gyan to the Ashwini Kumars and all of them. Again, Ashvibhyam is given to them. It might be referring to the Ashwini Kumars or many other great beings with same name. But he had given Atma Gyan. So the Lord is praising this Dadhichi profusely before sending Indra himself. Approach this Dadhichi, beg him to give you his body, he tells. Dadhyanda tharvanastvashte varma bhedyam madatmakam. It means to say that the Dichi was also a master of the Atharva Veda. He had known the whole Atharva Veda. Master, we have different rishis who are masters of the different Vedas. Our Vedic tradition was organized like a university. In university, you have humanities, social sciences, philosophy, law, medicine, different departments. Na? So also the Vedas were divided into different strands, different portions, and they were mastered by different rishis. So this Dadhichi was a master of the Atharva Veda. Vishwarupaya yat pradat tvashtayat tvama dhastataha. It means to say that he taught meditation and all of these things to so many great sages, and they became immortals also. Now, number 54. He also knows 54. Yushmabhyam yachito shvibhyam dharmagnyongani dasyati. So he was dharmagnya, that the Dichi, who knew dharma perfectly. Tatastairayu dha shreshtaha vishvakarma vinirmitaha. You go ask him for that body, and then when you get his body, take the body to Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma is the architect of the heaven. You've heard that name. Take that body to Vishwakarma, and Vishwakarma will make an invincible weapon with that body of the bones, especially of this the Dichi. And with that weapon only, O Indra, you will be able to vanquish this Vritrasura. Like that. So now Indra thinks, Bhagwan, what type of task you have given? I am going to ask the Dichi for his body. He will not give. Who has anybody ever gone anywhere in Shastra before or after to ask somebody for their body? Indra is hesitant. But Bhagwan, you go. Because the Dichi knows what is dharma, and that he several times he's saying he is dharmagnya, one who knows exactly what is dharma. And dharma means what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. And Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan says the Shastra is the guide to that only. Tasmat Shastram Pramanam Te Karya Karya Vyavasthitau. What is karya and akarya? What is to be done and what ought not to be done. Shastra Pramanam. Shastra is your guide, your praman, authority. So you go and you ask. The Dichi knows all the Shastras, and he knows what is dharma properly. With that weapon, you will be able, tasmin vinihate yuyam tejos trayudha sampadaha bhuyaha praapstasta bhadram vona himsanti cha matparan. It means to say, when you are able to cut off the head of Vitra with his weapon, then only he will perish. If you are not able to do that, nothing will happen. So now Indra goes there, approaching the Dichi. Shri Shuka Uvacha, Indramevam Samadishya Bhagavan Vishwabhavanaha Pashyatam Nimishe Pashyatam Manishe Shanam Tatraivan Tardate Harihi. He goes, approaches with the Dichi, and as described by Bhagavan, and does salutations, prostrations, ityadi, all what he's supposed to do when you go there. And you know, you're asking for something, how many salutations you will do? When you're asking for something, you do many more salutations. Bhagavan instructing like that, he disappeared, and Indra went to this, the Dichi. Then Ved Vyasi describes, Shukadev describes. Tathabhi yachito devaihi rishirarthavano mahan modaman vachedam prasanniva bharata. Now they are, oh, the Dichi, Bhagavan has sent us, yeah, you know, hey Rishi, Bhagavan has sent us to ask for your body. Now the response was very surprising to Indra, all of them. What is the response? Modamana. First, the Rishi was very happy. Modamana. Second, Uvacha Idam. He said this now. And how he said? Prahasanniva. This word is used in Bhagavad Gita. Prahasanniva, he smiled. Smilingly, he replied to Indra. By the time Indra had come there to ask, the Dichi had already known everything also. He knew. The first response would be, Indra, why do you want my body? Oh, Rishi, we want to kill Vritrasur. Oh, who is Vritrasur? He would ask all such questions. There is no question from the Rishi. He asked nothing. Indra just said, Bhagavan sent us here to ask for your body because we need to kill Vritrasur. Finish. The Rishi did not ask any further question. He started smiling. And with great joy now. Api vrindaraka yuyam na janitha sharirinam samsthayam yastvabhi drohaha dussahaschetanapaham. Oh Indra, you don't know. It's smilingly telling, you don't know that people are dussahaschetanapaham. People are petrified when they hear that they have to give up their body. You don't know that. Anybody who hears that they have to give up their body, you become petrified or not? Even though everybody knows that someday all of us have to go, when we know Yamaraj is coming, people try all sorts of tricks also. Yamaraj is coming to take this jiva, this body will have to be... Human beings are, I tell you, most peculiar creatures. Every jiva, he wants to go to Swarga, but he doesn't want to give up his body. How you go to Swarga with body? We have to first give up the... One fellow, he was a woodcutter in the forest. He used to cut wood and bring on his head. Bundle of wood. And it was blazing. You know, India's sun sometimes will go 100 degrees Celsius, isn't it? 100 degrees, he was coming with this bundle of wood on his head, and he was thinking, what a terrible life I have. I do this slave work, and then I come there, sell it in the market, get a few coins, come take care of that family, and no member of that family is grateful also. They all, you know, abuse me, this, that, and look at my life. Hey, Yamaraj, why don't you take me? And like that, he threw down that bundle of wood on the ground, saying, Yamaraj, take me. That time, that moment, Yamaraj came. He said, you called? He said, who are you? He said, I am Yamaraj. You called, na? He said, no, when Yamaraj really came. Yes, I call to ask you to help me put this bundle of wood on my head. We may say also that we want to go, but when the time really comes, this is what the DG is telling about. This is about the fear, Abhinivesha is called in Sanskrit, the fear of death. Everybody's afraid. But the sage is now telling this with smile and with joy. That means what? Sage has absolutely no fear of death. With joy, he's reveling in Bhagwan only. And he's smiling and telling all creatures, they have this great fear of death. Dusah chetana paha. That means that they become, let me see what is given in English there. Intensely paralyzing fear. That is strong words. But that is how we, they really become petrified by hearing this. What? Janitha sharirinam, those who have a body. And he uses the word sharirinam. Shariri means not only a human being, even an ant, a bird. They also don't want to give up body. That is why in Hinduism we say we should not kill any creature. Because just as we don't want to give up our body, they also don't want to give up. So, the sage replied like this. You knew it. You know it. Jivishu nam jivanam atma preshta ihepsitaha ka utsahe tatam datum bhikshamanaya vishnave. That, what it is in, actually Indra is telling, but you know, great personalities like you, O sage, you know what the world requires and you can also give. Great people like you are ready to give for the sacrifice for the benefit of the world. And kim nutad dustyajam brahman pumsam bhutanukampinam bhavad vidhanam mahatam punyashloke dyakarmanam. That is Indra speaking. There still, your punyashloka, most worshipful and most adorable and all of that thing, sort of thing, praiseworthy. And you all, you know what is required by the world and all such things. So now the rishi replies, dharmava shrotu kamena yuyam me pratyudahritaha eshava priyamatmanam tyajantam satyajamyaham. He said, my dear Indra, the moment you walked in here, I was prepared to already give up my body. I was just asking you, taking that conversation with you to see what your desire is. And to see whether you are going to use my body for protecting dharma. That is all. So now what is going on here really is begging, right? Indra has come to beg for something. And in the reply also, there's a very, very important principle of Puja Gurudev is to talk about this also. And Bhagavan Shri Krishna talks about this. Giving to a beggar, one who is asking for something, we have to see whether what I am giving him will be used for dharma or adharma. That is our duty. If I give something which is going to be used for adharma, then I carry the pap also of that adharma. If I give, I have to make sure that it is going to be used for dharma. So the sage himself is telling to Indra, I just wanted to see whether you are going to use this for dharma. And without any hesitation, that sage sat down in a yogic posture and merging his mind in the absolute Brahman, departed, that body fell like that. Like that. Dropped it like, without even realizing that it was dropped. And Indra took, the story is very brief, that portion. No. Very brief portion. He took it and quickly took it to Vishwakarma, who is the architect. And Vishwakarma fashioned this most formidable weapon with this body, the bones of the Dichi. And if there's any time that we call upon a story of sacrifice and seva, it is this story that people, to serve humanity, he gives also his sermon and all, to serve humanity with this body, which is going to drop in any case, this body will, he will drop, he tells. It means a person's sacrifice for the welfare and benefit of others. Not only is to extend to his knowledge and to his resources and property and money, and things, but is to extend all the way up to his body also. The Parsi people, you know, when they die, they put their body out so that the birds and all them can eat. They see that that also is seva to the bhutas, the creatures in the world. They have a nice principle, but it comes from the Dichi's teaching. Up to this body, we should be prepared to give in the service of others. See the height of seva. And this is just continuing from last night, what I told you about abhakta. This is coming in Bhagavatam, this is not coming in Gita. Isn't it? Not coming in Upanishad. This is coming in Bhagavatam, it is a bhakti granth. One of the prasthanatraya in bhakti. So the requirement of bhakti is, I should be prepared to give in my body if it is required for the benefit, for lokahita. Lokasangrahamevapi sampashyan karitumarhatsi, Bhagavan tells Arjuna. Looking towards the benefit of the world, I am supposed to work. And the principle in Bhagavatam, in bhakti marg, if it requires even to give up this body, I should be prepared. But I tell you, I was just demonstrating to you, we don't want to part with a pin. A coin. What will part with his body? Suppose somebody came here now, we are raising funds for the sick children's home. And how do we raise funds? We make wigs. How do we make wigs? With people's hair. Everybody in this room, please shave out your head. Start. The difficult decision to make, isn't it? I shaved my head for the benefit of such a little thing. Shave out the head. You see? So the Dishi's sacrifice, remarkable move by the sage. I know Indra took it there. The Vishwakarma made that great weapon and they came and they cut off the head of the big, I'm just telling you, pages and pages and pages of in one line. It goes on and on. It's a long story, I told you. But for our purposes. So what I'm trying to demonstrate through this story also is the requirement of bhakti marga is not anything simple. I started all of this because I wanted to tell this point. Recently also, I heard Guruji also mentioning this same point. People go on saying, no, this Gyan Marg is too difficult, you know. I don't have the intellect for that. And my intellect is not so subtle and so sharp and all. So this Gyan Marg is too difficult. So better I go to Bhakti Marg because that is easy. Don't ever say that. That is absolutely wrong. Bhakti Marg is not at all easy. See, where it has to end? A bhakta is supposed to be ready to give up his body. One day Yamaraj was passing in front of that king's house, you know, in her house, palace. So Yamaraj saw the guard in front, that Sipahi. He told that guard, I'm going up the street because I have some jiva to collect over there. But your king is due in 10 minutes. I have to collect him also. So you go inside and tell him quickly. So Yamaraj went up the road. God rushed in there frantically and told that king, Yamaraj just passed. He said, you have to go. He's coming back in 10 minutes. Well, now 9 minutes. Now the king got frantic. Now the queen, everybody said, they heard that, the ministers, the priest, everybody got panicky. So the king came quickly upon an idea. He told that guard, quickly, you give me your guard uniform. Give me that guard uniform. And you put on this crown and this all this cape and all of this thing. You take this staff. You sit here on this throne. And give me that guard uniform. That king took that guard's uniform, put it on, and he went there in that guard booth up front. Yamaraj came back after 10 minutes. Unfortunately, Yamaraj had got delayed there a little bit. So when he looked, oh, I am 1 minute late, it's 11 minutes have passed. I don't have time to go inside that palace. This guard will do. This guard will do. It doesn't work. We can't outdo this. That, so the sage said, in any case, this body will have to go one day. So why not now use it for something great like that? And drop that easily. So this is the requirement of bhakti. So don't ever tell it is easy. It is by no means easy. Bhaktas have... second thing is, bhakti cannot be blind. You have to know who you have faith in, isn't it? So knowledge is required or not? I have faith in God. Which God? I don't know. Who you have faith in? Some blind principle in the sky. We have to know also about that God. So bhakti marg also requires a lot of thinking, a lot of reflection, a lot of pondering. And don't tell it is easy. And first is the knowledge. Then second thing is, I have to have absolute love for the Lord rather than for anything in this world. You know, Bhagwan tells that. I did not tell you that shloka because sometimes that hurts, you know. Just now he tells. I tell you. See what the Lord tells too. This is number 50. Swayam nishreyasam vidvan na vaktya nyaya karmahi narati rogino pathyam vanchato hi bhishaktamaha. He says, see the translation. No one who knows what constitutes the supreme good of man never induces the ignorant man to the path of desire-prompted karmas. It means to say, any teacher who really knows the shastras, he will never ever prompt a devotee to seek anything worldly. A person who knows shastras well, he will never ever prompt any devotee to seek anything worldly. This is the requirement of bhakti. A bhakta cannot seek anything worldly. He has to only seek that reality. He gives the example of a physician. The physician will never tell that patient to eat anything unwholesome, isn't it? He may like that patient, but... And the patient may like that other food, but the physician will tell. So a true teacher will always tell to that bhakta, don't ever pursue. And bhakti marg requires, we have love for Bhagwan, not for this world. So now, how much of renunciation and tyag is required in bhakti marg? No attachment to anything in this world. I am attached only to Bhagwan. So don't tell that it is simple marg. It is a very, very demanding marg, just like Gyan marg. See, all of these years I have been telling, I tell people, bhakti marg is just as demanding as Gyan marg. Otherwise, what it would have been? It would have been that Bhagwan made the goal. The goal is enlightenment. Huh? The goal is realization. So the goal is there. And Bhagwan made the path easy for certain people and difficult for other people. Bhagwan will do that? No. Then he'll be biased towards one group, isn't it? He cannot make the goal easy to be achieved by some people and difficult to be achieved by some people. The effort, the self-effort, has to be same in both the margas. And you will see that very clearly coming out in this. You see what test he has put so many devotees through. All sorts of devotees have gone through so many tests and they have to go through so many obstacles. Even in their seva, he doesn't take away. See Hanumanji, he's doing seva of Ram. How many obstacles? Mainak Parvat, Surasa, Simhika, Lankini. Then there, Meghna, they catch him, tie his tail, everything, light his tail of fire. How many obstacles? Even though he's a Paramabhakta, supreme Bhakta of Bhagwan, and he's doing Bhagavad Seva also. But still, obstacles one after the next. So, get that idea out that this Bhakti Marg is easy thing. It is not by any means, and the self-effort and requirement is just like any other self-effort in Gyan Marg, Karma Marg, any Marg. So, like that, this Vritrasura was removed by Indra and the Devatas by the sacrifice, seva of one man willing to give his body for the benefit of all the Devas and all of posterity. This is the requirement of the Bhakti Marg. And if we don't strive to reach there, then we really cannot call ourselves Bhaktas, you know. I am Bhakta, but little Bhakta. Little, you know, I just started off like that. I have little devotion and all. I have not reached like the Dichi yet. We can say, but we should have the Dichi as the ideal, isn't it? The most, most wonderful story of sacrifice. Okay. Now, I will stop there. We'll have some bhajans and then we'll conclude. Then later on, we'll have dinner and bhajan and... No, today not bhajan. Today is campfire. Yeah. All right.
Jai 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 Manamohana, Jai 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 Madhusudana. Jai 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 Manamohana, Jai 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 Madhusudana. Keshava Madhava Madhava Keshava Keshava Madhava Keshava Madhava Keshava Gopala गोपाल नाग राधा गोपाला गोपाल नारा जय 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 मन मोहना जय 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 मधुसूदना जय 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 मन मोहना जय 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 मधुसूदना जय 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 मधुसूदना जय 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 मधुसूदना वीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति वीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति वीर मारुति अति धीर मारुति वीर मारुति अति धीर मारुति गीत मारुति संगीत मारुति गीत मारुति संगीत मारुति गीत मारुति दूत मारुति राम दूत मारुति मारुति राम दूत मारुति दूत मारुति भक्त मारुति परम भक्त मारुति भक्त मारुति परम भक्त मारुति वीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति गंभीर मारुति पवनपुत्र हनुमान की जय